As for today, I wanted to discuss a topic that I think is at the heart of Rosh Hashanah and the Yom Narim as well. The essential bracha, the key bracha of Kedushat HaYom on Rosh Hashanah ends how? All right, Mekadosh Yisrael, the Yom HaZikaron, that's fine. What precedes it? V'tahir libeinu la'avdecha be'emet, God, you should purify our hearts to serve you in truth. Ki ata Elokim emet, because you are the God of truth. Udvarcha emet v'kayam la'ad, and your word is truth, and it endures forever. What word is repeated? Excellent. Emet. Thank you for listening. Emet, and hence our topic, the search for truth. All right. Here you have three different contexts of truth. V'tahir libeinu la'avdecha be'emet. In terms of our avodah, we should serve God in truth. Then God Himself, ki ata Elokim emet. And finally, the Torah, udvarcha emet tekayam la'ad. Well, Torah, and also, I suppose, the promises that God made through the Torah and through Nevi'im. So I want to try to understand what is emet. Now, this expression, ki ata Elokim emet, is drawn from the Navi. I would say it every day, by the way. How do we end Kriyat Shema? Ani Hashem Alechem. The God is truth. That's based on a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, in number one. Vashem Elokim Emet. The Lord God is truth. Hu Elokim Chayim Umelech Olam. He is the God of life. Melech Olam, eternal God. Mikitzpo Terash Haaretz. From his wrath, the world will shake. Velo Yachilu Goyim Zamo. And the nations of the world will not be able to withstand his anger. So what's that pasuk? Hashem Elokim Emet. So Rashi says the second clause modifies the first. Hashem Elokim Emet, number two. Lama, why? How do we know God? Why is God truth? Ki hu Elokim Chayim, Melech Olam. Because he is the God of life, Melech Olam, the King of eternity. Lekach yachol amet dvarav. This way he can verify his words, meaning fulfill whatever he's promised. Avol basar v'dam omer lasot v'meit. A king, a human being of flesh and blood, says he will do something and then he dies and he can't do it. O tashash kocho, or his strength weakens and he can't do it. O yored min achasov v'em biyodol kayem. Or he loses his wealth, and so he can't fulfill what he wanted. So according to Rashi, the second clause modifies the first, that God is emet, in the sense that his word is eternally valid, because he is eternal existence. The Malbim has a slightly different pshat, number three, Vashem Elokim emet, and here we have a definition of emet. What is truth? Geder ha-emet hu haskamat ha-nemar al hadavar el mitziat hadavar atzmo bipoal. What truth is the convergence of what is said about something with what it actually is, with the reality of that something. So emet, attentive definition, emet is an accurate depiction of reality. So why should that be so hard? Why should it be so hard to depict reality? Why should emet, truth, be so elusive? Why should it be so hard to attain or to understand that in fact in the davening, both on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you have constant references to emet. And not just in the bracha Kiddush Hashem at the end, like I mentioned, but throughout the davening, there are references to this understanding, this drisha, the search for truth. Why is that hard? That really is our topic tonight. Now, there's a famous statement of the Gemara in Shabbat, Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Chotamo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emet. God's seal is truth. What does it mean, God's seal? What's a seal? A seal is a stamp, an imprimatur on something. What does it mean? We'll get to that a little later, but Rashi says here in unnumbered four, Chotamo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emet, God's seal is truth. How do we know that? Emtzayit lotiyot rishon v'acharon. That you have in the word emet, the whole alphabet, the whole alphabet rather, represented. You have the first letter aleph, you have the last letter tav. What's the middle letter? Mem. So it means that truth is a complete depiction of reality. It encompasses everything. It has the letters, beginning, end, and the middle. Al Shem, the Pasuk, Ani Rishon V'Ani Acharon V'Ani Hu. To verify the Pasuk that the Navi said about Hashem, God says, I am first, I am last, and Ani Hu, I am Him. Where is that Pasuk? It's in Yeshayahu. It's in number 5. Komar Hashem Melech Yisrael V'Goalo. Thus said Hashem, the King of Israel and its Redeemer. Hashem Tzvakot, God of hosts. Ani Rishon, Vani Acharon, Umi Baladai Ein Elokim. I am first and I am last, and aside from me, there is no God. That pasuk ring a bell? Does it ring a bell?
Sure.
Well, I hope by next Tuesday it'll ring a bell, because this is the first pasuk in the Musaf, in the section of the Nevi'im that corroborates Malchiyot. There are 3 psukim of Malchiyot, 3 Zichronot, 3 Shofarot, and there's one pasuk from Torah, one from Tanakh, one from Nah, one from Nevi'im, one from Tuvim. So this is the first pasuk of Malchiyot from the Nevi'im. Hashem is Melch Yisrael, and he says, Ani Rishon V'Ani Acharon. Now that's the pasuk Rashi quoted to corroborate that God, Chotamo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Emet. So that now we have to understand. So Emet is completeness. It's a complete and accurate depiction of reality. I quote the Kotzker Rebbe, who said something that would not go over well today. He said 99% truth is 100% sheker. All right? By the way, what's that?
Sheker,
falsehood. I'll mention something else. See, Emet is Aleph Mem Tov, the first letter of the alphabet, the middle letter, and the last letter. What about Sheker? Those are the last 3 letters. All right? Kuf Rei Shin. Those are the last 3 letters. So Sheker, even when it's put together, cannot stand. Emet, even if it's far apart, because it's real, it's Mitziyuti, it can stand. I'll tell you something else. What's that?
Isn't there something also like Emet, it's all flat?
Yes, that's correct. Very good. I mean, it's 2 legs. That's right. 2 legs or a flat bottom. Emet, the Aleph has 2 legs. The Tuf has 2 legs. The Mem has a flat bottom. But the Shin in the Torah comes to a point. Resh has 1 leg. And Kuf has 1 leg. So it's an unbalanced leg. So in fact, Sheker cannot stand. Emet can stand. All right, that's a cute shot. But if this is the first pasuk from Malchiyot, from the Nevi'im, it means that one of the themes of Rosh Hashanah is searching for truth and then finding it and then embracing it. And now we have to understand how we do that. Thus, the very famous beginning of Mesilat Yesharim of the Ramchal in number 6. Ramchal begins, you've heard of the Sefer, you've heard of the Ramchal first, from Moshe Chaim Mutzato, lived in the 1700s. And of course, his Sefer, Mesilat Yesharim, is one of the classics of Musar. So he begins, Yesod HaChasidut V'Shorash Avodah, the foundation of piety, and the root of all service of Hashem, HaTmimah, the pure service, He sheyitbarer v'yitameit etzel ha'adam, macho v'to ba'olamo. It's that a person should clarify and then verify what is his obligation in the world. Meaning, not just writ large, mankind generally, but what does Hashem want from me? There's really nothing better on the Yom Narayim than to contemplate that in particular. What does God want from me? In terms of my life, even in terms of this year. In terms of this year, you can say Hashem wants from me that I become a Ben Torah, I become a Talmid Chacham. Life, as life goes on, a person has to understand what is our chova. And to what should a person put his perspective and his efforts and his initiative in all that we exert ourselves in our lives? In other words, that's how it starts. What does Hashem want from us? It's a very, very fair question. What's the difference between yitbarer and yitameit? So berer means to clarify, but it means to understand. We have to understand what what the reality is, but yitamet, to verify from the word amet, it means to internalize. It means to have total identification with amet, with truth, which both are not easy. The first is probably easier than the second. We can understand the truth and not always internalize it. I'll give you a good example. I don't know how many people smoke anymore, but people can understand that smoking is bad for them. That's yidbarer. That's beru. They clarify something. But to be mitameit, to internalize it, that's a different thing altogether. Because internalizing a truth involves conquering one's emotions as well. That's not so simple. This state of being mitbarer, mitameit, what to clarify, to understand and internalize what God wants. So this really was the existence of Adam HaRishon before the Chet. Before the Chet, which took place when? On Rosh Hashanah. All right, so mankind changed on Rosh Hashanah. That's why it's the Yom HaDin. As the Rambam notes in the Mara, that before the Chet, Adam's world was a world of Emet V'Sheker. Everything was true or false, meaning it was an objective world, a world of absolutes. It was not a world of tov or ra, of good or evil, good or bad. That's what Adam brought into the world after he sinned. So he went from a world of absolutes into a world of the relative, which is where we find ourselves now. And this is why it's critical to understand this particular point and why the search for truth is not just, flowery, poetic, but really is at the heart of what we're supposed to do on the Yom Naron and our lives as well. Your world is not a world of Emet V'Sheker. I want to say, when I grew up, it was maybe a little more, but now it's completely gone. Tov Hara is often today even inverted, but it's all subjective. I hear constantly now, I mean, it's really unrecognizable to what it was even 20, much less 50 years ago. Today you read constantly of a focus on narrative. What does narrative mean? Narrative is my story, my truth. And my truth is my truth. I have my truth and you have your truth. So there's no such thing. That's, modern speak, that's new speak, for just abandoning any contact, any understanding of what emet is, what truth is. Today, in the focus on narrative, you could have my feelings or your feelings or my opinions or your opinions, but you can't have a personal truth. It's an oxymoron. Truth doesn't lend itself to personalization. It lends itself to objectification. And therefore, to understand what truth is becomes our primary objective in life, as Ramchal said, "Sheyitbarer v'yitamet etzel ha'adam machavato ba'olamav." To clarify and to internalize what these truths are. I'll just make one slight caveat, that it is possible to see emet from different perspectives. You have different perspectives on truth, the truth remains the same. And that's a classic understanding of what a machloket is in the Gemara. They're looking at truth from two different perspectives. One favors or one trends to a particular value as the determinant, and other sees another value as the determinant. But that's looking at truth from two different perspectives. That's not the same. That's not the same as having two different truths, or multiple truths, or subjective truth, which cannot be. And this later on in Perek Gimel, the Ramchal in number 7, amplifies in a very important way. And he says that, quotes the Pasuk, Kinei Choshech Halayla, that there's darkness at night, which of course we understand that. But Shnei Minei Ta'oyot of Shalosh Yigrom Le'ein Adam, there are two types of errors that can befall a person's eye, meaning a person wants to see. Two errors. One, Yichaset Ayinat Shel Yirim Malafon of Klal. One type of blindness is that a person just covers his eyes and then he can't see. But there's another type of blindness, another type of blindness, the person misconstrues what's in front of him. You see something and you just see it, you distort it. You see it in the wrong way. Those are two errors. Both are harmful. One you don't see, you're going to stumble. But the second, which Ramchal says is even worse, is that you see things as distorted. You see Ra is Tov and Tov is Ra. So, true, it does characterize modern life, but it's not completely unknown. The Navi spoke about this already. Shayo, Hoya Omrim L'Ra Tov La Tov Ra. Woe to those who say that evil is good and good is evil. Samim Choshech L'Ra L'Choshech. They make darkness into light, light into darkness. Samim Marlim Matok U'Matok L'Mar. They make the bitter sweet and the sweet bitter. It's a complete inversion of what reality is. And now back in the Masechta Sharm, mitoch kach mitchazkim u'machzikim ma'aseh morim. Because of that, they strengthen, are emboldened in their evil ways. If someone is not able to understand that something is wrong, and even more than that, he thinks that wrong that he's doing is actually a mitzvah, or it's virtuous, or it's good, there's no hope. Kein dai shechaser mayem riyato emet v'rotar sheneged pneihem. It's not bad enough that their vision is deficient to see the evil. El shenir limunso rayok adalov nisyonot machichim usorotem araot uledem hakosvot. Even worse than that, they find proofs, examples, why their evil thoughts and their false opinions are really correct. And you could look at the world, see this all the time. People want to justify different types of immorality, and they'll quote Mamar Chazal, they'll quote Psukim from the Torah. All right? It's the exact opposite of what the Torah wants. It's like I once, when I was your age, in fact, we all used to argue with missionaries on the streets of Manhattan. I don't think they're there anymore, but... And a guy once tried to prove to me that the Pasuk Shema Yisrael is a proof of the Trinity. He said, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem is three gods, all right? So here he took the very Pasuk from which we learn about Hashem Echad, and he made it to proof of the Trinity. That's an example of seeing something right in front of you and distorting it. Seeing an Amud and thinking it's an Adam. Seeing an Adam and thinking it's an Amud. And he brings proofs to validate what he wants to say. The exact opposite of the way it is supposed to be. So how then do we go about gaining the truth? See, the Rambam says famously in the Shemona Prakim, in number 8, in the Hakdam at the very end, he says that in the Shemona Prakim, which is the introduction to Pirkei Avot, the Rambam introduction, he says he's going to quote a lot of sources, all right? Divrei Chachamim, Midrashot, Talmud, and then Midivrei HaPhilosofim Gamkein. He'll quote the ancient philosophers also, and from different writings. Ushma ha'emet mimi sha'amura. We are supposed to hear the truth from whoever says it. Meaning, there's no monopoly on truth. We don't say because X or Y says this, it's definitely true. Truth exists independently of its utterer. We, though, are able to gain the truth by learning Torah, by asking questions, by probing, by analyzing. And then, what do? And here's one of the essential traits to acquiring truth. In the fifth parak of Avot, the Mishnah says, Shiva Dvar Megolem v'Shiva Bechacham. There's seven things that characterize a golem. A golem is someone who is unformed, who is unrefined. V'Shiva Bechacham. And the seven characteristics of a chacham. So he mentions all of them. Chacham ein medabev mishu garal mimenu. Bechachma, a chacham is not quick to speak before someone who knows more. He doesn't interrupt. He does not quick. He's impetuous to answer. Doesn't show off. Shel kinyan ameshiv kalacha. He's focused. He understands categories. Omer rishon rishon achar achar. He asks. He's asked a question, not a series of questions. He answers the first first and the second second. Al mashal shamar lo shamati, something you didn't hear. He'll say, I didn't hear, I don't know. And the last one, umoda al ha'emet, he admits the truth. A chacham, by definition, is a person who is moda al ha'emet. He admits the truth. V'chilufei and begolem. A golem is unrefined, cannot admit the truth. What does it mean to admit the truth? So Rambam says in number 10, in his parish here, v'lo tiye bo ikshut. He should not have obstinacy, stubbornness. According to Rambam, it really is a moral issue. El kasha yishma ha'emet yikamlo. When he hears the truth, from whatever source it is, he accepts it. Af al pi shefshal litchot uvakech o'atot. And even though It's possible for him to argue and to deflect. Lo yitav zeh beinavi. It's unacceptable to him. V'omro moda al emet. Ever tempted to do that? You could be learning with someone, all right? And you have a svara, and you like your svara. We're all attached to our svara. And then someone asks a question, and you realize deep down that your svara cannot hold water, cannot be defended. What's our natural reaction? To defend it anyway. Why? Because we said it, and we like it. People will argue even when they know that they're wrong, because they refuse to hear the truth. That's a golem. That's the opposite of a chacham. A chacham is moda al ha'emet. Rabbeinu Yonah says a similar but slightly different point. Number 10. Im yir lo ki amet imo ach yor l'dvarav. Yoda l'dvarav. Vol yochosh men nitzachon. If a person hears someone else say something true, he should admit it. And he shouldn't fear that now he's going to lose. Who kavod who a love, and therefore he'll lose face, he'll lose honor thereby. Ki himido noa umikubelet, because it's a beautiful and acceptable trait to be able to admit to someone, you're right. You know what? I didn't see it. You're right. Vagolem lo yachashov bazeh. The girl never thinks of that because he's unrefined. Vadavar who a love levizayon kshuminutzach. And to him, if he's defeated in argument, it's a tremendous embarrassment, and he can't handle that. So people will defend their incorrect opinions to the death rather than admit someone's right. That's a golem. That is not a chacham. There's a fellow who used to argue with me all the time, and he would... Listen, he would ask all his questions and raise his arguments, and I would answer him, and then he would just say to me, I can't debate with you, you're a good debater. Now, it's right, it's a great praise, but it really is a deflection. It's irrelevant to the discussion. What he should have said is, I can't answer your questions, so I agree with you. You refuted what I had to say, you refuted my arguments, so I agree with you. Instead, he would say, I can't debate you, and he would just walk away. That's a golem. He was a golem. That's a golem. It's someone who's unrefined, who's unformed, who's not really involved in the world of thought. This notion of moda al ha'emet is a quality that's in short supply today. To concede to someone else, it's because the golem is the person who believes in my truth and your truth, and so he can't be moda al ha'emet. He has his own emet. How could he admit to someone else's emet? So the golem really is moved by ego. Rabbi Chait said he's moved by ego and by the approval of society. That's his barometer for what's true or not. That is not a way a person will acquire emet. So we all have different notions. Some are correct, and we should expand them and strengthen them, and some are incorrect or flawed, and we should either abandon them or rectify them. But to say that because I said it, I can't be moda al ha'emet, so the first thing we have to do in terms of tshuva also is to be moda al ha'emet. We have to admit the truth, otherwise it's not going to work. Such a thing is true of individuals, and it's true of the world as well. The Mishnah says in the end of the last Mishnah, the first paragraph of Avot, Rabban Shimon Gamaliel Omer, Al Shlosha Dorim Olam Omeid, Al Adin, Val Amed, Al Shalom. The world stands on three things: Din, justice, Amed, truth, Shalom, peace. Now, obviously, the three don't go together necessarily, they're often in conflict, but nonetheless, each have a role to play, and each do converge. Rambam says in his Perush, what's emet? It's malot ha-sichliot. Emet means intellectual perfection. You know, when we require emet, we can't acquire emet through the emotions. Having the emet can produce good emotions. We're not going to acquire it through emotions, it's not going to work. Intellectual perfections, malot ha-sichliot, means that we're focused on acquiring the truth because it appeals to the mind, and we have been able to excise any type of incorrect notion from it. Rabbeinu Yonah says what we gain from the emet, it's part of acquiring good midot and improving our deeds. Number 14. Al emet sheish adam alecha bedarcha tshuva Emet means that a person follows the ways of repentance. Shu emet, v'torato emet, that is true, if the Torah is true. V'ho'ech v'darkei HaKadosh Baruch Hu emet, gam ken yelech b'oto derech. And the one who follows the ways of God is also following the ways of truth. Shenemar v'holachta bidrachov. You will walk in his ways. That is the notion of truth. The Ratzon Hashem becomes the only barometer for what is right. How do we acquire that? Well, that's what the Ramchal said. That is the test of life. Now, I wanted to share with you, before we finish, what the Maral has to say about this in the Derech HaChaim. It's not on the sheet in front of you. Fortunately, it's on the sheet in front of me. So the Maral breaks it down into three different categories, really three different parts of the world. Emet, truth, is part of the Olam HaElyon. It's part of the upper world, meaning the supernal world. Olam HaElyon is a world without stirot, without contradictions, without compromises. That Rav Aviner said, that's what it means, Chotamos Shakadosh Baruch Hu Emet, that God's stamp is truth. Because stamp is something you do at one time. It's an absolute. You have a document, it's all signed, and it's all signed, so you seal it. And then it verifies everything that's there. We say Chotamo Shakadosh Baruch Hu Emet. God's seal is truth. What's God's name? So Medrash says one of God's names is Shalom, peace. Shir Hashirim Asher Lo Shlomo Mel Shalom Shalom. That is God. And a name, though, a name is written not at one time. A name is written in stages, in Shlavim. So therefore, Chotam, a stamp, that's an absolute. Peace, though, is something different. We don't consider this world the world of truth. What's Olam HaEmet? It's the next world. Because this world, it's hard to... We could see the ultimate truth. We could try to live it. But it's hard to sustain. There are always encroachments from the outside. Always challenges from the outside. So therefore Chazal termed this world the Alma de Shikra, the world of falsehood. A lot of falsehood reigns in this world. Second is Allah Shalom. What's peace? See the Marel, so that's Olam Emsai, the middle world. That's a world of compromises. It's really this world that we're in. This world where we live with other people. Shalom makes Emet possible, makes Emet palatable. Why? Nobody wants to live in a world of absolute truth. It's hard. If people walked around telling everyone absolute truth about them, about how they looked, about how smart they were, about how talented they were, etc. You couldn't live. People be at war all the time. So Shalom really moderates that, because since we want a peaceful world, so therefore we learn not to say the emet to people and offend them.
Yeah, we're learning Pesach, and we're talking about the argument between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel says, like, you know, you lie for peace in certain instances, and Beit Shammai is like, no, you always tell the truth. So it's that.
You're like the Kala, right?
Yes,
right.
Yes, yeah. The girl in the wedding dress, right?
Yeah, Kala no the chasuda.
Do you tell her she's fair or whatever, or that she's
That's correct. That's correct. So Beit Hillel doesn't mean you have to lie. Beit Hillel says you find something to praise. But Beit Shammai, he was rigidly prone to truth.
Yeah.
All right. So he wasn't as beloved, in fact, as Hillel was. In number 15. The Mishnah Sachar was Rav Teichtal. You may come across him this year as the author of the Hymn of Banu Smecha. Rav Teichtal, Shemikom Damo, was one of the great Gaonim of Hungary before the war, a bitter anti-Zionist. And during the war, he realized he made a mistake. And he wrote a work called Hymn of Banu Smecha about the need to return to Eretz Yisrael and found the Jewish state, etc. And the suffering that because of that, Nebuch, he was killed by the Nazis. But his work survived. He was buried and recovered. He has a grandson as Rashiv in Haifa. So anyway, Rav Teichtal had other works also. One is called Mishneh Sachir. And there he quotes the Mari Engel, quotes the Maharal in a different work of the Maharal, that Shmo Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu Shalom. God's name is Shalom, peace. V'chotamo Emet. His seal is truth. Well, Mi Karev Et Halaguf. Shmo Chotamo. What is closer to a person? The name or the seal. Everyone will say that a person's name identifies him more than a seal. V'cheinu eitz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheshmo Shalom Chashuv Etzlo Yotem Echot Moshu Amet, that God's name, which is truth, is more important to him, dearer to him, than his seal, which is Amet. Meaning, we have to access Amet or Shalom in a social sense. It's always better to access Shalom than Amet. In a personal sense, so if Shalom means constant compromising with one's values, then of course that's going to be wrong. And instead, a person has to be able to understand the truth and embrace it as well. So Olam Elyon is Emet. Olam Tzi is Shalom. What's the lower world? Olam HaTachton. That's Din. What's Din? So Din, the Maharal says, is an attempt to organize the earthly reality according to lofty values. And that's a work in progress. Why is Din necessary? Why can't the world just exist with Shalom? Can't handle the freedom, can't handle the peace. You see what happens in today in American cities, where there's no concept of peace, there's no concept of din, there's no din, there's no peace. And that's where there's hefkerut, there's chaos and riots and violence. So you need din, you need a strong hand in order to obviate the situation when shalom is insufficient. So, just to summarize, Ani Rishon, Ani Acharon. What is truth? So the Malbim says on that pasuk in number 16. Komar Hashem Ani Rishon. Hanavi mitvakech ata neged shnei minei kitot shahi b'zmano ben amim. The Navi Yeshayahu is arguing with two different groups of people that existed in his day. They probably don't exist as much today as then, because God is understood differently today. But one kat, one group, natnu dofi belokut. They had trouble accepting God, and that's one aspect of the focus here. And the second is they denied the Hashgacha. But here in this pasuk, Ani Rishon, Ani Acharon Umi Baladai Ein Elokim, what does it mean? It means that you had people who denied that God is eternal, right? Like the Greek philosophers, who believe the world, the universe is eternal, and God somehow entered. He's either coterminous, we came afterwards. But no, we believe God is eternal. He created the world, Yesh Me'ayin. He is the Borei Olam. So God is Kadmon, is eternal, and He's the Borei Olam as well. That's Ani Rishon, I'm the first. Meaning, we look at it from a temporal perspective, but nothing existed before God. Vani Acharon means He will always exist. He's Echad, Umi Baladai, Ein Elokim. Aside from me, there's nothing else. And here the Malbim says that that's to deny those who do not believe in Hashem Echad, but there are multiple deities. Mi Biladai Ein Elokim. What is this a concise expression of? The theme of Malchiot on Rosh Hashanah. Malchiot means that God is the Borei Olam, and God is Kadmon, and God is Echad, and God is the Melech. That's how we relate to God. That's Ani Rishon and Yachron, Umibala Enel Kim, and that's why the Pasuk is found in Malchiot, the first Pasuk from the Nevi'im. And God, of course, is not only Melch Yisrael, number 17, He's Vigalo, He's our Redeemer as well. Bitchubi, trust in me. Kani Shayiti Rishon Shagalti at Chem Rishon Mitzrayim. I am first, meaning I was one who redeemed you, meaning us, from Egypt. And I will be the one who will redeem you in the end of days also. And you shouldn't let your heart fall or become terrified because if there's some delay because of what the gods of the nations, meaning the nations of the world, do to us to thwart our destiny. Shouldn't be afraid of what the nations of the world do. They may have power temporarily, but ultimately, as we see even in recent times, there is no God but Hashem, and He will redeem us as well. The purpose of Rosh Hashanah is to bask in the Amitat Hashem, in the truth of God, in His deeds, in His existence, in His might, in His Hashgacha, in His Torah, and internalize that. And then ask ourselves, now that I know all this, now that I recognize Hashem as the Melech, and the Borei Olam, and Shofarot Gilu Shechinah's Lord gave us the Torah. Now that I recognize this, on Rosh Hashanah, I ask myself, Ma chovati b'olamo? What then is to be my obligation in this world? What does Hashem want from us in this world? That is the question we ask ourselves on Rosh Hashanah as we search for truth, as we attain maybe a glimpse of it, and then try to internalize it and make it the guiding principle of our lives. All right, I thank you all very much. Any questions?